All right, call the meeting to order at 5:11, I guess. First order of business, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Excuse me, first order of business is the approval of the minutes from the December meeting.
The only thing I saw on the second page, it says the next meeting is Monday, January 20th, and it's Tuesday, January 20th.
Drats!
Okay, got it. I knew better than that. Okay, got it. I will correct that.
And if you want to, we could just strike it on there and sign. It's no big deal, if you're okay with that.
You good for that, too? Okay.
Anything else?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
Okay, motion by Ron, need a second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes. We have an addition to the agenda right before the meeting. We need to have a reorganizational election of officers tonight. I see everybody's chomping at the bit to be my replacement.
I'll nominate Van Cogan, president.
Second.
And a first and a second. Anybody else?
I'm satisfied with that. Yeah.
Sounds good.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.
You really want me to record that as a nay? No.
I abstain from voting on myself.
Okay.
Secretary nominations?
Debbie Johnson?
I'll take it if you want me to.
Yeah, I'll second.
Second. Anybody else want to throw a name in?
Armless.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? Passes. Treasurer.
Vice president and a treasurer,
oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Treasurer?
Nominate Tammy. She's got the purse strings.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that.
First and a second. Any other names? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Congratulations, Tammy.
Thank you.
And vice president.
Nominate Ken.
Second.
First and a second. Any other names? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Pass.
Okay.
All right. So back to the new business. That's two copies.
Oh, great. Okay. So if you want to continue. Yep, I will.
Scott is in person. Brian is on video, and Nick Lawrence is on video joining us. So they'd like to do a presentation on Ironwood.
And we've got Marcus Lucio, East Council for us. He can introduce himself.
Sure. Well, good evening. I'm Marcus Lucio. I'm an attorney from Evansville, Indiana, and I've done some work over the last few years for Brian and Scott and Pick and some of their entities. A couple of months ago, they asked me to provide some assistance in connection with what they call Project Ironwood, which it involves the housing project that they're proposing in town here. So I've agreed to provide some assistance. I have some expertise or some experience in this area. I've represented the city of Evansville for about 15 years now, and cities had TIF projects and other incentive projects, so I'm somewhat familiar with the process, also somewhat familiar with the ready process. I wouldn't call myself an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but they've asked me to provide some assistance with some of the folks being unavailable tonight. So you have, I think Pick has provided everybody with a slide deck. What I thought I'd do this evening was, I'm not going to read it to you. I hate to go to presentations where you get a PowerPoint presentation and and they, you simply read what's on there. What I'd like to do is kind of run through it and maybe hit some of the highlights. To the extent any of you have any questions about it, if you've had a chance to look at it or as I make the presentation, don't hesitate to interrupt me. I may or may not know the answer, especially to some of the financial questions. Scott and Nick and Brian, I'm sure, could fill in some of the blanks that I'm not able to. So as we go along, if anybody has any questions before I start, I'm happy to try to field those right now.
You know, part of the reason Ruger's involved for this evening, and he'd been involved in kind of once we got started with the ready process, or the town did, but you know, with the slide deck, he's been involved with helping build that, correct it, make sure it was in line, and he's, you know, our goal is to continue to work with him and his team, and Nick Lawrence has helped, you know, build a lot of the deck, no doubt, and we've hired a consultant, Joe, to help put it all together to what you're looking at. She's responsible for that. So we had a lot of hands in it, and Brian and I have been redlining it for what seems months or weeks now, but and Marco and his team have looked at it as well. So we don't want to bore you with reading it, like Marco said, but he's just going to kind of breeze through it. If you have any questions, just stop and just ask, and we can get through that.
The other thing before I get started, I do want to say I've worked with your counsel, Tom Pittman, for many years with a lot of the city project. He was very helpful to the city of Evansville, and I consider him to be kind of the expert in Indiana on these types of transactions. So I've really enjoyed working with Tom, and look forward to working with him on this project as well. So, you know, as we flip through this, the slide deck, I'm kind of starting on pages 3, 4, and 5, which talks about the housing needs, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. I think you all live here, you know what the housing needs are, you know that there is a need, and what PIC is proposing to do is offer a solution for those needs, and is looking for some assistance. You know, through the Ready program and through the TIF process in order to get this project off the ground at the scale they want to see it and at the scale hopefully the town wants to see it. So I won't flip through those details on what the needs are because I think everybody understands what those needs are. For the project overview, you all have been probably living this longer than I have, but let's summarize why we're doing this. We think that this private investment that's being made in town is going to serve some needs of the community. Those include, you know, will include solving some issues with providing housing for folks who need it. We think a lot of this housing, especially the single family portions of it, will be leading to additional families moving into town, which means additional students in the schools. So we think that the TIF, the tax increment financing, is one way for the city to provide some assistance to this project at little or if no risk to the city whatsoever, but to the town. So in 2021, as you all know, PIC purchased the property, which is the subject of this. We're trying to seek a TIF area of about 55 acres out of the total project. The town had, at the time, PIC was voluntarily annexed into town, so that's something that's fairly novel. I know there's a lot of towns and cities out there that would love to annex an area. It's very, very hard. Legislature's made it very, very hard to do that. Unless somebody wants to voluntarily do it. And so PIC stepped up and did that and had the property rezoned to allow for, you know, single family and multifamily use. I think in the past several months, PIC has also provided some assistance to the town in connection with submitting an application for a Ready grant. Ready is a terrific program that the state has put into place over the last several years. And there's the town is kind of going to be the beneficiary of perhaps a $2 million, a little over $2 million worth of ready funds that can be used for a project just like this. So PIC's been involved in that and has helped helped the town do that. The 57-acre project, I'm flipping to page 13 now. You can kind of see an aerial, kind of a schematic drawing of what that might look like. But page 14, there'll be single-family HOA homes and single-family villas and single-family lots that are going to be constructed during this particular project. The total build out is going to be about 115 of owner-occupied single-family residential, as well as 48 multifamily rental units. So a significant number of new housing opportunities for the town. Page 16 talks about how PIC plans to phase this project. The schematics, I think, are very helpful. They were very helpful to me to understand what PIC is proposing to do. But the first phase of the project is going to involve, on the north side of the project, some infrastructure in order to construct those units. And on the south side of the project, which is the single-family portion of the project, that will, you can see what they're proposing to put in there as far as roads, streets, curbs, gutters, sidewalks, and the like. So page 17, kind of more of a future plan is after we progress through phase one, what that might look like. But the phase one, which is what we're looking for in connection with what's going to be funded by READY, would be grading and excavation on the entire site. Sanitary sewer and water main installation, storm sewer installation, curbing, gas, electric, and fiber. So, you know, the whole gamut's going to be there so that lots can be developed and houses can start to be built right away. Page 19 again breaks down what this is going to look like and the timing of it. The phasing of the project and how they see this being phased in and being absorbed over time is on page 20. There's some tables there that others are more able to explain than I am, but that's, I think, a fairly conservative approach to how this is going to phase in. I think it's PIC's hope that it maybe moves along a little quicker than this, but this is more conservative in nature, you know, so that you can do some financial projections on that. Project budget. On page 22, you'll see a total budget for kind of the infrastructure costs on phase one, a little over almost $4.9 million, broken down into the items that you see on that list, including erosion control, grading, sewer, water main, storm sewer, and curbing, concrete curbs. Sources and uses of those funds are funding. On page 24, the land values being contributed by PIC and the total park costs, which we brought from the prior pages, so show the total uses of almost $6.3 million. And then the bottom portion of that shows where the funding is coming from, and which would include already PIC financing itself, as well as the PIC equity in the real estate. Beginning on page 26, you'll see what tools we're looking for to provide assistance for this project, and that's kind of why we're here this evening, which is TIF financing. This area, we're requesting this council commission to create a TIF area of 55 acres, which would allow for property taxes increase as the project is developed. Funds would be associated with that, would be created and would be dedicated to repaying a bond and some for the costs that are being incurred to do this development. PIC is asking for that bond to be in the $2.9 million range. We believe that there'll be sufficient funding from the TIF over the 20-year period to pay that, with PIC receiving 90% of those funds and 10% being retained by the commission for uses that, as it sees fit. To the extent, what I think is really important with TIF financing is to the extent the project doesn't go as planned or doesn't throw off the revenue that's created, the town and the commission are not at risk for the shortfall. That risk falls solely on PIC. So if for some reason things don't go as expected, it's PIC that's going to suffer financially. It'd be unfortunate for the town because that means it's not grown as much as we had hoped, but PIC would suffer the financial consequences of that. On the flip side, if things go better, then PIC gets paid quicker, and the town gets to keep the all those funds that are generated. So PIC's not going to recover anything more than the $2.9 million that we're asking the commission to commit. So to the extent that TIF funding exceeds that, that's going to go as a, I don't know if I call it a windfall, but that certainly goes back to the commission and the town to use as it sees fit. Having flipped through that, I would say, you know, what we see, the last few pages of this talk about what this might mean for the town if this project is allowed to proceed and if this project takes off. Not to say the least, it's going to create some new residents for growth in the community, provides additional labor for businesses. Those people that are living here will more than likely solicit a lot, utilize local businesses for their needs. So I think it's kind of a win-win for the town as a whole. I think there's been some. I think we'd like to maybe. How is the town protected on all of this? On page 33. The town is getting the benefit of this with kind of a $0 investment because PIC's going to be undertaking all the costs for the development of the site, going to be reimbursing the town or paying the costs associated with the creation of the TIF, as well as for the bonds that would be ultimately issued, so the town's not going to be out financially from that standpoint. And as I've mentioned before, to the extent that there are funds are insufficient to pay PIC, at the end of the day, it's at PIC's cost and its sole risk. Next steps. Tonight we're just making a brief presentation to you so you can see what the project is, what PIC is requesting. We would envision that if this commission would like to proceed along these lines, we're already working on a development agreement that Mr. Pittman had prepared. I submitted some comments to Tom on Friday. We would work through that in the next month or so and be back hopefully in February with a completed development agreement for consideration by the board. Once that's done, then we would continue to provide assistance with information necessary to proceed with the READY project and also support for creation of the TIF and the bond that would be issued that PIC would purchase as it incurs these development costs. So that's a kind of a quick summary of the slide deck. I'm happy to answer any questions. We've got some experts on the video that can fill in the blanks that I may have left out or anything that they felt like I need them. I haven't emphasized that I should have emphasized going through the slide deck.
So the slide deck was presented to me Sunday or yesterday morning, I can't remember now. I shared it with you guys so you had a chance to review it before tonight. So are there any questions coming out? Want me to start? Get the ball rolling. Point of clarification, Scott and Brian, on your slide 22, hard cost. I know you talked about mass excavation for the entire site. So your cost here, the 1.3, is that for phase one and two, or just the proportion for phase one?
Our our goal with that would be to get as much of the grading done for in that 57 acres is what we probably can.
With a million and three.
Doing the cut and balance, the mass excavation, I think Dan would be the right way, doing all the mass excavation. But as we get into, not to, I don't want to gum it up, but it would be taking care of all of phase one for sure.
And that's
in the mass excavation for the 57 acres.
Okay, so that value here is for all the budget of mass excavation.
For the most part, it does cover most of that, yeah.
And
then the sanitary sewer, water main, stormwater, all of that's just going to be for phase one? Yes. And all the lines would be, yeah, that's correct. Okay. Can they be sized for extension as the development succeeds?
But if you're looking at page 22, Ken, on the upper half of the...
Yeah.
Where that blue line kind of shows like a cul-de-sac to the east, that's... It'll be capped there waiting for phase two to start.
Right. Yeah.
Same to down on the lower where that other cul-de-sac.
The white portion is phase two.
Yeah, the white portion.
That one right there.
That's phase two and all of that's phase two.
So the white part on the bottom is phase two?
Yeah, the cul-de-sac on the bottom is phase two.
Up until I saw these prints, that was the first I heard of the phase one, phase two. Because all along, I thought we were doing everything at one time, so that was kind of eye-opening to me. Well, and I think Nick can get into explaining some of that. Nick Lawrence can, from our standpoint, as they work through the financial piece of it. And that's kind of where we are. I mean, Nick, you can talk on that if you'd like.
Yeah, I think from our perspective, it's, installing all the infrastructure that's related to that for both phases is a pretty significant endeavor, a pretty significant carry for the development team, particularly when we've got a fairly conservative phase in absorption of the development. And so, obviously there's some efficiencies there, and once you're doing creating a mass X to go ahead and get all that taken care of in one fell swoop. But in this instance, we try to be strategic with the deployment of the PIC capital to try to open up as many lots up across the various typologies of the residential units that are available there and provide pretty critical spine access from the northern portion as well as, deploy the capital that can open up as many lots on the southern portion as well. So it just, with the additional budget, and we're talking about several millions of dollars that would need to be going towards the installation of all the infrastructure across the balance of the site. And what we believe to be, again, a fairly conservative approach to the absorption, it just doesn't make financial sense from a return perspective without knowing how these things are going to sell and absorb. I think we all think that, optimistically, if these houses get built and are purchased and folks are moving in there, then we can start using lot sale proceeds to start investing in the next round of infrastructure. That would be the intent behind this, is as the first phase is successful, we can then turn right back around and deploy some of that capital into the expansion of the additional phases.
How many acres are in phase one in those two sections of the 57? Do you know?
There is about in the, if you're on sheet 16, the blue shaded area is about 33 acres.
Well, I keep in mind, phase one is mass excavation is the entire site. So
yeah.
57 acres for mass.
Yeah.
Excavation purposes. The other piece there on the question regarding the phasing, since Ferdin has so little history of residential absorption other than what Ruger has done, we want to be able to flex the type of lots we bring online on phase two. So if villas are extremely popular, or they're not popular at all, and something else is, then we could flex. The same with the single-family residential on the southern portion. You know, by putting that in now, we would be defining lot lines. So the thought is to see what folks want and maybe be able to pivot based on market demand for the future phases.
So on page 22, when it shows those two developments, how many acres is that of the 57?
In the blue.
33.
The shaded areas. The shaded areas.
Like on page 22, those
if
two.
They include 33 acres of infrastructure and mass assets on 33 acres would be infrastructure and development, but it will include 57 total acres of mass excavation.
So both of those parcels are 57 acres. The blue is 33.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's 33 is the blue. And this, so that's the whole 57 acres on page 22.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what they're excavating, the whole 57 acres.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And doing sanitary sewer and stuff in the 33 acre section to begin with until you see what develops.
If we look at page 20, so you're looking like 2.5 years of your, of all that work before a structure is put up. Is that right? In 2029, you have 8, 9, roughly.
Nick Lawrence can answer that question, but I think that is before they start to produce income, because they'll be a year behind.
So it could be built in 28.
So the houses that, yeah, gotcha. The tax that's showing, I think Nick can explain it better, Nate, but it's 2 years in arrears, basically. Gotcha. By the time construction starts, by the time the tax revenue hits. And that's what I think his absorption,
gotcha,
on 20 is showing. It's showing the tax generation time frame as those units come online.
But so they really need to get built in 27 then to make this table.
Yeah,
match
that's
up.
Correct. So that's what it's showing.
Construction's going to start.
We're assuming, yeah, vertical construction would start hopefully in 27.
Right. Other questions on the presentation?
So
the slide deck.
I have one. On page 24, when it's talking about uses and sources, and the land is shown in both for the same amount, would it be more accurate to show sources as lot sales revenue as opposed to just the amount that you bought it for?
Nick, you want to explain how and why you broke that stuff out separate?
Yeah, so again, that pink equity there represents the dollars that were put into the purchase of the land. From when you're speaking to the sources, you know, that would be a phase two would be using those lot sale revenues and deploying those. That would be a source for phase two infrastructure.
Professionally, this is how I would see it. The land contribution is shown as a source and a use, an equal amount.
And then with the intent that the ready would go and fill a partial of the infrastructure and how we deploy that in the public elements that are in there, and then the remainder of the site development budget for phase one is on PIC. And their lender.
Gotcha.
what steps are we going to take to keep people from buying lots and then to holding them for their grandkids and maybe their kids?
That's something Brian and I have to put a little bit of thought to.
Yeah, from a legal standpoint, there would probably be covenants with respect to that subdivision that would say require that construction be commenced within a year, 2 years, whatever the parties would agree. But yeah, that's what we would do.
Because I think that's been a challenge in our smaller units where people are trying to buy lots and they want to hold on to them. Well, we see no benefit other than, hey, we sold a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a harm to you guys because you get no tax revenue or TIF money back.
No, the goal definitely is, our whole goal on it is the vertical construction. You know, it's not to just sell lots and move on. We need to get, the goal is to build population, get kids in school.
The other thing you need to, on that same line, make sure we don't allow adjoining lots to be bought and only one dwelling get built.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Because again, all the math works on number of dwellings, not number of lots.
Still keep it marketable.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
The incentive for PIC is it's not going to get repaid on its investment unless there's vertical construction.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Those are good things for them to consider, though, as we
forward on the covenants.
Yeah.
Yeah, it behooves all of us that, you know, if we can build it out sooner, sooner than the 20 years.
So the assessed value of the properties was now it's residential, and as the lots get built, when does that assessed value stick for the taxes for the school? Do you understand the question?
So I think I do, but if I'm going to answer it, if I don't, you'll tell me, right? So I think if a house is, if they start construction in 27 and finish it in 27. It'll be assessed on January 1 of 28, but taxes won't start to flow until the next year. So it's always a year, kind of 2 years behind before you start to see any revenue generated.
So the assessed value of that property before a house is built is what the school will get.
Continues to get.
They'll continue to get the same amount. Subject
yes.
to same amount.
Yes. Does that include the infrastructure, or is that before the infrastructure?
It's before.
Okay. So basically, as it sits now, that value is X. It's not going to change.
Correct.
Okay.
Same amount of money flows through the school and to the town.
Okay. I didn't know if once you got the curb and gutters, your assessed value goes up, but it's before that. Yeah.
But the TIF gets approved before the infrastructure goes in, so any below surface improvements get caught in the TIF, not pre-TIF.
First, nothing ever done, then nothing ever increases.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Okay. I remember a couple years ago, the law changed where they could ask, the town could be required to put in the utilities, basically, or the infrastructure at their expense. Are you asking for that?
No, certainly not for phase one. I think what you're talking about is the water main extensions legislation that would allow a developer like PIC to recoup whatever its investment was over a period of time. That's being waived for phase one. Mainly because, in all fairness, the ready funds are funding that. So that's the reason that's being waived.
Are you referring to the revenue?
No.
Allowance?
No. No, I was referring to...
The tap fees.
The tap fees.
Okay.
And the infrastructure itself, that is all on the developer.
All on the developer.
Yeah.
So water, not on sewer, the town at all.
Okay. Street, yeah, that's all on the developer.
Now, the one unknown that we have going through all of this that I've been working on is the money that's coming out of TIF. Because we had some initial projections, which was back before the state legislature got involved. And with SEA1, everything's up in the air. You know, I've gone and generated some projections based on the 20% decrease in taxes coming in. It gives us a number, but I don't know whether that 20% is the right number or not. And I've yet to find anybody in the state to even begin to tell me.
Because they don't know.
Right. The state only had four counties where they actually had tabulated everything up. So that's 4 out of the 92. And right now everything's on hold because the legislature's relooking at stuff. So that's kind of an unknown factor is, yeah, there's money that'll be available, but nobody has any idea what it is.
And that's a risk that PIC is
assuming. PIC is taking, yeah.
I was going to say, but it seems like, to me, it was looking like PIC is taking all the risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the developer, so that's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's correct. I mean, if there's less property taxes, the TIF is not going to pay as fast, and it may or may not be able to pay out the full 20 years,
yeah,
what we anticipate, so, exactly. I mean, I appreciate what you put together here, and there's not been any articles that I've seen have said that there's a flood of housing available anywhere in the United States, and so growth of housing in Vernon's always been a need. This is why very back in the beginning when we first started looking with Scott and Lauren and myself at trying to apply for this Ready Grant to get that thing moving forward, it was to bring the availability to add to what Mr. Kirstein said added already to the community, seeing how quickly that got gobbled up and got built out, which we appreciate, Ruger, by the way, the investment you're making and the fact that you guys are teaming up to do this says a lot, I think, for how you feel about Ferdinand and its ability to grow. So you guys, as the Trader family, is always invested in Ferdinand. Yeah, I mean, everything that we have business-wise, at least on the south side of town, was developed because you guys made an initial investment and had to take some risk, and that thing, you know, still, I know there are lots we could develop there, but we wouldn't have this little town, McDonald's and all these things, and be a main infrastructure development and pasture area to Holiday World without a lot of those things that developed there. So at first I want, you know, I just want to give you guys kudos for that, because even with your new building, you could have built anywhere when you built your new building, yet you stayed in town and built. So credit to you guys for that. So I wanted to express that.
I might add too, you know, my experience is in Evansville, and when we see projects like this, I'm not sure we've ever seen a project quite like this in Evansville, but the developers that come in and do it in Evansville are generally out of town. And from my standpoint, I always would much rather deal with somebody that I see walking down the street, because if I got a problem, I know where they live and I know how to get in touch with them. So I think it's a real bonus to have local people that are willing to take the risk here to develop in their hometown.
Yeah, and I think as you know, most of you guys were part of the comprehensive plan, and you saw, you know, we heard about the needs again from the county and ROI and housing studies that were done. I mean, it's more of the same in the county, you know, which is making a big push right now. I think that we're trying to fill a big need, you know, for what we, you know, it's been realized in the area, not just in DuBois County, but in the Uplands region. It's a problem.
It is. Well, and right now, even if our kids want to come home, they can't come back to Vernon because there's really not a lot of homes available. And when they are, they get snagged up pretty quickly, especially if they're lower valued homes, you know, compared to the higher value homes, because they don't even barely hit the market before they're sold, I think. So, you know, this gives us an opportunity to offer different types of housing. Gives us an opportunity to see more single-family dwellings and perhaps, you know, bring some of our graduates and our kids home when they start having families and they want to move back closer to family and take their jobs here. So I'm excited about the project. I haven't hidden that from anybody, so.
Well, as we got through and started building the slide deck, and we were all internally redlining it, and there was another point, too, that got brought up. You know, one of the last things that we added, you know, is we're utilizing annexed
that's true
property that the town has. We're not, right. You know, we're not putting additional pressure on agricultural property beyond the town limits for people to call Ferdinand home and to build back into the community. I mean, other areas beyond the town limits is what we see growing, Jefferson Township.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to be a win-win, I think, for the community school corporation.
Well, it's just an awesome location for people to want to build, too. It's kind of on the outskirts of town, yet close enough that you can get everywhere you want to go, and the kids could practically walk to school if they wanted to, you know, if we get that all connected the way we'd like to get it done. So, it's just a win-win for the community and for the county, and I, you know, I hope we can find a way to make this work.
You know, Ken alluded to Senate Bill 1, how it's impacting tax revenue for real estate. You know, I did a quick math here. Phase 1 of 66 units, dwelling units, I believe. You know, the Herndon has a per household income according to U.S. Census of $80,000 a unit. So you're talking potential wages of $5.3 million in Phase 1. That will be subject to income tax if you guys adopt it as a town or other natures. I mean, that's a big number to play with as well, that we're going to see if we don't do this development. I'm sorry, Kathy?
How much did you say? I'm sorry.
The U.S. Census says we have a household income of $80,700. I calculated 66 dwelling units in Phase 1. So that's $5.326 million.
Well, and we can't forget those people are also going to go to the grocery store and to the gas station and to the restaurants and, you know, to bring all that business to the community also.
Right. So either way, I mean, we're looking at if real estate taxes get skinnied up because it's in the bill, we always have the income to that we're potentially capturing with income tax.
I mean, kudos to Pick is, they're right. They are taking the risk. And while this is an unusual and almost unheard of project, which is, I think, maybe why it was awarded to us by ROI, because it was a unique structure for an agreement between, almost unheard of, as Marco said, between, I mean, usually you have competitors not wanting to work together, you know, but in this instance, for the betterment of the county and for the businesses that are in the county, I mean, again, how often do you see that happen? I think it's impressive.
It's unique.
It is. And maybe that's why we're all struggling with it so much. One, it's not something we know anything about, so we've been doing a lot of learning, so it just slows everything down. You as developers, I know not necessarily residential, but you guys are more used to the flow of how things have to go and, you know, would like to move a lot faster than we are, but we're kind of like, oh, wait, we're still learning and trying to decide.
With Premier, you know, Properties and Ruger and his team, and, you know, it's a handshake right now at this point, but, you know, his willingness to step up and go vertical right away, you know, on some of it, that's just going to help us with that diversification. It's not just going to be single-family housing right out of the gate. It doesn't have to be new, brand-new, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 worth of homes. It doesn't have to be that.
And I would point out again, and I know I'm talking a lot, but you guys invested a lot of money so far to see this happen. I mean, with all the professionals that you brought in, and some of which are on board tonight, and others which I know that you've employed behind the scenes to do some of these designs and research that you need to do in order to know what to offer. You know, it's not like you haven't already put a major investment in this project. So I don't have any other questions. Sorry, just a lot of statements. I just want to clarify, I guess, some appreciation from my point of view.
I agree with Debbie, and I'm excited about the project, too, being from the Herndon area, of course. To see things happen. Yeah.
Well, processing going forward, my recommendation is going to be for the Redevelopment Commission to have a chance to review the proposed changes to the economic development agreement. I would suggest you consider having an executive session for purposes of discussing and to enable me to, you know, answer any questions on what the agreement, you know, what the proposed changes are. So that would be my thing. Also, I wanted to echo, I thought that was a really excellent and useful presentation.
I think it would give us time, too, to talk to our financial advisor with London Witte to look over that, because it's a lot of information. We got it this morning at 8:15, so it's a lot to digest in a few hours.
Yeah.
Totally agree. We weren't anticipating there'd be any action tonight.
I'm glad you said that. But this is very good. This is very helpful. I think we'll all find this helpful for discussion purposes. And
thanks.
I don't have any questions.
Ken, Ron, Tammy?
The only thing, I'm still not clear on the utilities for those first two phases, the colored lines. Are you clear on it? Because you can teach me later if you're clear on it.
I think I'm clear. I mean, we've sat through a couple meetings with them.
So like
the working group sat through it. They invited me out to a meeting last week. They went over this slide deck so I understood it. If it's colored blue, you're going to have utilities fully installed in phase one.
And roads. Yeah, it's all
inclusive. If it's not in blue, utilities stop at the lot line of phase one. Potentially in the northern section is a cul-de-sac built waiting for phase two to blow through to the east, just for safety, emergency vehicles turnaround on that dead-end road, or that cul-de-sac, I should say, not dead-end.
Correct.
So then lot sales from those homes would fund your infrastructure for the
That's what they've
indicated. Sewer in
for phase every, two.
For phase,
phase
two.
Two.
Yeah. So the proceeds from lot sales in phase one feed infrastructure for phase two.
Part of it will, hopefully. I mean, that's the whole goal.
Infrastructure being the sewer, the water.
Yeah.
Things
and that's not to say, you know, we wouldn't be looking for other avenues for utility reimbursement or something for those additional areas as we move forward.
I thought we had a waiver in there, didn't we?
It's a waiver in phase one.
Okay.
I think I understand your question.
Yeah, where in one of the other subdivisions we're paying off the revenue. So it was our intent to have that waived so that we didn't have to pay any of those, I forget what the word is.
Revenue allowance for utilities.
So. If I'm reading this right, what Marco sent me, and I shared it with the working group.
Yeah, I just had a chance to briefly read it. Yeah.
I guess so. Paragraph 2.8, PIC understands and agrees that for the project being Ironwood Phase 1, there'll be no water or sewer revenue allowance payment pursuant to Indiana Code 812.101.5.
And that's a suggested change. It's not how it was originally written, Ron. You're correct. As it was originally written, it's a suggested change, but you haven't seen these yet.
We thought it was a little unclear, but we wanted to be in all candor, say,
expand.
We may ask for when we do phase two that the water extension fees may be applicable to that.
Because we're applying ready funds for phase one for those things, Ron.
Okay. But for phase one, there is no revenue sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Do you remember in our original application, was it phase one and phase two in the original application? Because I know that'll all have to be redone to get through that pre-compliance stage.
Yeah, I'd have to go back through that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know either. I think it was, but I'm not sure.
Nick and his team, you know, we've relied pretty heavily on the math and the numbers for what was feasible and made sense.
If they've started to look at that application again and they have numbers, that might be helpful to look at the same time to know how that's going to feed in.
What was that?
To the allocation of the ready funds, because it will all feed off of what this is. So if they're making...
Nick can help you with all of that.
That might be helpful to see.
And I don't know if he went... Now is not the time, but he is working on the application.
So he's tweaking that part of the application.
That is one of the pieces of many on that sheet.
Right.
Brian, Scott, if I heard you right, there was some question regarding the ready application and the budget template. Those are items that I am working on currently and should have a draft of those in circulation very soon. I've tried to maintain monthly communication with Heidi Young at IEDC to double check some of my assumptions, but we are working on those documents.
That would be helpful because it all does feed together.
Nick, how far along roughly do you think you guys are on that those documents?
Yeah, I'm about 80% done collectively. The budget template, I've got in a good spot right now. I'm working through the application checklist and have a little more work to do on that. But by end of week, I should be pretty far into some of those revisions. I'm largely done. Obviously, those are subject to change based on any of the continued discussion between PIC and the Redevelopment Commission and town, too.
Right. But that's what we need in our hands to have the executive session that Tom recommended, I'm assuming, that those final documents. Right, Tom?
You should have that stuff.
Should have that?
You
okay.
Should, yes. Now,
didn't know.
Right, Dan. I got enough of that. Do you have enough of that information now to do that?
Mm-mm. Not that.
Not for the application, I don't know.
Well, the application's, yeah.
It's two different things. We got
right. Yep.
We got this, the TIF revenue issue or mm-hmm. question, and then we got the ready.
Yeah.
It's, they're connected, but they're two different events. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think what Nick gave, I think I got it. I think I shared it with you guys.
Share it with two of us, I think.
I don't get all the checklist because I didn't have the checklist in front of me when I was reading it.
But we have info now we can review before we get together again.
I think we have enough to work on the reimbursement or economic development agreement, yes. Okay. We need to schedule an executive session.
And Tom, that is a legal thing for us to do, I'm assuming. I mean, we always are cautious about executive sessions, so this meets all the rules for executive. Did he hear me?
I don't think he heard you.
Tom. Tom, can you hear me? He doesn't look like he's hearing me. You holler at him, Dan, see if he hears me. I want to know if it's okay, because we usually double-check executive session.
Yeah, Tom, the question is, the executive session to review the economic contract. Development agreement is permissible under state law?
I say that again.
Your recommendation for an executive session for us to review the economic development agreement is permissible under state law?
The last part of that I didn't catch.
Okay.
I think if I'm hearing bits and pieces of it, I think the question was, is the under state statute to call an executive session, are they allowed to do that to review the economic development agreement? Is that allowable for you to call it an executive session?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Ask him to send to me which ones so I can. I'll send him an email. Okay. I'll send him an email. Because I have to put in my legal notice which sections it is. And it's
the IC code.
Ask Tom to send you
send him an email.
Which enumerated ones.
If there's something that Tom feels like you guys need, you just have to ask.
Okay.
I can help with the preparation of the notice.
That's what I'm asking for.
A permissible topic.
Good.
For
I would have thought it would be, but we're very cautious about them, so...
Since we do have, you know, a goal of getting these things approved in February, we might need to look at an executive session for early February. Our next normal meeting is the 17th. Mm-hmm. A week early is the 10th.
That's subject to having the input from Nick, right? That's, we don't want to do it before we get more info from Nick.
Right.
But I also don't want to cut it too close to the 17th.
Yeah, I'm okay with the 10th.
Right. We have to go back and forth and make some smarter adjustments.
We're talking about the turning over those ready documents as well. Is that what's in my court?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Does February 10th, Tuesday night work?
Yep.
It does for me.
Sure.
All right.
Same time? 5 o'clock?
Same time, 5 o'clock.
And we don't
Eastern time.
We don't need technology, so we're in good shape. February 10th, 5 p.m., executive session. All right. Got it?
you guys feel like you, like I said, if you feel like you need something other than what you have, and Tom, you just have to, Tom and Marco have been communicating. So if there's something else he feels like he needs, just let, have Tom let Marco know.
Okay. I guess, help me out, guys. I sent a lot of emails today. Did everybody get the draft of the economic development agreement?
I did. I only got to scan it, but I did see it.
I think I hit reply. I sent all.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what they're wanting us to review.
No problem.
Yeah, there were some things, and that's what I'd like Tom to really explain, because I know.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
5 p.m. February 10th, executive session. Okay.
And Tom said he'd get language for it.
Yes.
All right. Get him up on that now.
Anything else for Pitt? While they're here. All right.
Sounds good.
Any other new business?
I'm going to sign off. Good meeting, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Tom.
I didn't have any new business unless somebody else has something you need to talk about.
All right, seeing none, we're adjourned.
All right, we're adjourned.